My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She was recently a featured participant in a New York Times forum in reaction to a Colorado program that was pushing for taxpayer funding of contraceptives for teenage girls, and in particular, intrauterine devices and long-acting reversible contraceptives. Grace Marie was against that. We'll talk about that a little more in the future. But she also mentioned during our interview in response to that forum last month that she expected this idea to be promoted nationwide. And literally within just a couple of weeks, it came true right here in Virginia outside the nation's capital with the lieutenant governor of Virginia, a Democrat and a doctor, making it very clear in an opinion piece to the Washington Post that he is strongly in favor of implementing this in the Old Dominion. And Grace Marie is here now to talk about the strategy behind this and the pros and cons of this. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, pleasure as always.
Well, for those who didn't hear our initial conversation, there was essentially a test program in Colorado that allowed for teenage girls to have access to these contraceptives, some invasive, others not. And over time, there was a pretty dramatic reduction both in teenage births and abortions. And so then there was an effort to make it a state program with taxpayers funding the project, which was eventually killed in the Colorado legislature. Now it is coming to Virginia. Let's talk first about your prophecy coming true here. Why is there a national effort behind this movement?
You know, that's such an important issue because the lieutenant governor of Virginia, as you said, is a pediatric neurologist, Dr. Ralph Northam, makes absolutely no reference, Greg, in this op-ed in the Washington Post about the moral, ethical, religious issues involved in this question. The program in Colorado was privately funded by a nonprofit organization, a very limited program with private funds. When the Colorado legislature considered this as a statewide publicly funded effort, the bipartisan legislature didn't fund it because there are so many other considerations, not only the religious organizations that strongly object to forms of long-term birth control, many of which are often abortion patients, but also the issue that this is that's taxpayer dollars that would be funding this, and therefore something that the state would condone. And as I mentioned in the piece that I wrote for the New York Times, having the government fund these long-term contraceptives for often poor teenage girls tells these young women that taxpayers will pay for them to have sex without fear of pregnancy, and that they don't have to be responsible for the consequences of their actions. But as I said, sex is not without consequences, even if pregnancy is not one of them. And there is no mention of any of these issues in this article that by the lieutenant governor of Virginia. He's basically just saying this is looking at the numbers, that teen pregnancy can be reduced without any of the sense of what message does this send. And there's no such thing as safe sex. Are we telling these young women that they can have promiscuous sex and not have consequences? Of course there are going to be consequences, not only in the form of sexually transmitted diseases, but in the sense of what kind of an image are they developing of themselves. These are crucial formative times in the lives of these young women, and they need to learn to be responsible for themselves. Being responsible for their sexual behavior is one piece of it. If the state is basically saying, we don't trust you, then we're basically saying the state has to make all of your decisions for your life. So there's a basic fundamental difference here between a culture that says that we want to help young women learn to be responsible for themselves, perhaps with better sex education, with better educational opportunities, better life opportunities, or we're going to try to protect you from the consequences of your actions by having the state pay for free long-term birth control. It seems to me a very, very different kind of cultural message.
And if, in fact, this program were to be enacted, Grace Marie, what kind of pressure might the government be putting on teenage girls? The lieutenant governor in this piece seems to suggest that it's elective, but as you probably know, there have been stories, I think in the Pacific Northwest, about parents not even being consulted before their daughters as young as sixth grade were implanted with IUDs.
Exactly right. Where does the family come into this, Craig? If basically the state is saying, we are going to protect young women from the consequences of sexual behavior so that they don't get pregnant, what if parents object to that? Is the state going to say, no, we've decided that because we don't want to have the state pay for the pregnancy and the delivery and perhaps Medicaid for the child after that, therefore we're going to encourage young women to have these long-term contraceptives, which we also don't know. We don't know the consequences for their health of having contraceptives for a 19-year-old girl, that the contraceptive may last for 10 years. Is she ever going to get her fertility back? You don't know that. I don't think we know enough about these. And there was a statement by the American College of Pediatricians that says that endorsement of long-term birth control is another effort to promote safe sex while ignoring the dire consequences that early sexual activity can have among the young people involved. So even though Dr. Northam, Lieutenant Governor Northam, is saying that this is something that some pediatricians endorse, others are saying that there are many other consequences here, health-wise, and we have to take the larger view of humanity, not the short-term view of whether or not the state's going to save money in the short term by promoting these long-term contraceptives without regard for the physical, emotional health of these young women and the kind of messages that the state would be sending to them.
Grace Marie, another issue here, of course, and you referenced this a little bit earlier in our conversation, is that the lieutenant governor and other proponents of this sort of policy constantly use the term contraceptive. But in fact, from what our conversation last time suggested, is that these can certainly be considered abortifacients. So it goes back to the question, and Marco Rubio and CNN just had this face-off a couple of days ago about when life begins, with conception being the scientific consensus, although pregnancy technically begins when it implants in the uterus. So how does that all factor into this debate?
This is a moral, religious, and ethical question. This is not something for the state to decide. And when the state says that we are going to use taxpayer dollars to pay for long-term contraceptives that, as you say, can actually be abortifacients, that is condoning those. And there are millions, tens of millions of people in this country who have strong moral, religious, ethical opposition, convictions against that. And for the state to say we're going to ignore that and to use your tax dollars to pay for those, that is a violation of the First Amendment. And I think we would see many court cases taking that ultimately, I hope, to the Supreme Court to challenge whether or not the state can go that far. And the California legislature basically put the brakes on right at the beginning and said, we can't go there. And Colorado is not known for its conservatism. It's very much a purple and even a blue state. And if that legislature couldn't take that next step, why on earth does the lieutenant governor of Virginia think that that's something that they could do in Virginia? And again, without any regard for that whatsoever in his Washington Post piece of the fact that millions of Americans would oppose this kind of use of their taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, in fact, there's one line in this piece that simply says, unfortunately, myths also abound with regard to LARCs and the safety of IUDs in particular, but he doesn't actually go through any of them or try to refute any of them. But here's the argument you're probably going to get at some point, Grace Marie, because there were results in this Colorado program, 40% drop in teenage births, 42% drop in teenage abortions. And so the argument's going to be, look at those results. Don't you think this is worth it? For all of you who are outraged about these Planned Parenthood videos, these drugs that may or may not terminate a pregnancy in the very early stages must be more acceptable to you than what you see on those Petri dishes in those Planned Parenthood videos. So how do you respond to an argument like that?
One of the things that these young women in Colorado were offered was education and counseling. And that, I think, we would need a controlled trial, wouldn't we, to determine whether or not that it was somebody taking an active interest in these young women, helping them to see their worth, helping them to understand the longer-term consequences of their behavior, and not only the fact that they were able to have free access to these long-term contraceptives. And that when we look at the proper role of government, the proper role of government is to provide since government's in the business of education, make sure it's quality education, that young women understand the consequences of their actions, the options and the alternatives that they may have, that they need economic opportunity so that they don't see pregnancy, having a baby, getting on welfare as really their only ticket to being able to have some vestiges of independence. We need to provide better opportunities for these young women. And part of that is having the state do what it can do and not try to do something that really goes way beyond its proper bounds into the realm of conscience and religious ethical convictions.
We'll certainly track how this debate proceeds in Virginia and most likely beyond. Grace Marie, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you always, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.